hiking down here with my dog. You know, like, my fiance's already doing, like, wedding planning stuff for next year, so, like, she's not being able to hang
out. By the way, we're super pumped for the wedding. I've already got a couple dance moves going. Don't worry, we're going to break them out. Go ahead.
Struggling with your golf game, you need two things, my friend. You need some swing lube with some yacht water with real Reposado tequila, and you need to follow me over to Dew Sweepers TV. Come on, let's go get better at the game of golf.
All right, so joining me here on the tour, Coach, I am pumped. We haven't done this in a while.
Yeah, quite some time.
It's been a bit. Emilio Gonzalez, we've been together how long now?
We were doing the math earlier, like 7 years.
7 years worked together since you came out of STMU, St. Mary's.
Yes, sir.
How about that? I got Zells and I got Coach coming in town for Jingle Bell this week. We got a big St. Mary's weekend. So Connor and Zells and the whole gang, but, and they've done it. We'll talk about that some other time, but they've done a real nice job building that program there.
They're growing up pretty good.
Coach McGregor, he's done a great job building that as a Division II program. It's a great place. And I think one of the cool things now, too, is you can get wherever you want in the world of golf from anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, the way it's become international. But obviously, you and I have talked a million times, and obviously we've worked a million times. But haven't had you on the pod since you got your PGA Tour card. And I've talked about it, obviously. All of us have talked about it, but congratulations. And, man, just so proud of you and proud of what you've done. And we're getting ready for Sony and the start of a PGA Tour. Your rookie PGA Tour season. How does it feel?
You know, obviously excited. It's a dream come true to, like, be able to – I mean, I chase my dream every day, honestly. I'm super fortunate for that. But
you ever just, like, roll over and go, like, shit, I can't believe it's happened.
You know, like, in a way, like, and hopefully this doesn't come out in an arrogant way, but, like, I always truly believed I could do it. That's so awesome. Like, I'm not surprised, but I'm just really excited it happened. Let's put it that way.
I remember when I met you at St. Mary's. We were at Dominion there on that back patio, and I remember we were doing a little Q&A, and you asked 412 questions. So I knew you were, you know, I knew you were serious. But it's been a long time. But I remember watching you hit balls, and I remember the first time you came over to Sea Island, and people, we joked about this tonight with Reese and Natalie and the whole gang, and then about, like, how you lived with me for a while. But I've told you this many times. I always knew you were going to be a PGA Tour player. And there were things about you. There are things to me that you can't put your finger on.
Yeah.
But I knew you did. And I think that's cool that when you always knew, I think it's cool to watch somebody get there.
Yeah. And, you know, like, the time that we lived together, like, quite honestly.
I learned how to make salsa.
That's one of them, right? But one of the coolest things is, like, quite honestly, like, the most grateful part of those whatever 10 months that I lived with you was like how much, not like, I mean, yes, I got a chance to work with you more often and that was great, but like just us like having a glass of wine, sitting in the condo watching TV and me just like picking your brain about things, you know, like it definitely made me realize like, okay, like this is what I got to do. Mm-hmm. And obviously, nothing is guaranteed in life, right? And in golf, no, I don't have to say it, right?
Yeah, well, I think I've been fortunate in that the good players I've been able to teach, which you've become one of the best now, though, have always been so gracious about spending time with the ones coming up behind. Yeah. And obviously, during that time, Lucas was a huge part of it. I was with Lucas, and he was the best at spending time with you young guys at Frederica. That period of time at Frederica, good, bad, and different for me at the end, but like COVID year, it was different. Yeah. But we all hung out, and damn, we played golf every damn day. Yeah. And I would teach. I would work with you guys. I had some members and I had folks coming to see me and you guys would play And I'll never forget the one time, like, there was like Lucas and you and a bunch of people, and I think Andy was there, Yvonne was there, Breen was there, and we ordered food and we took it back to one of the cottages. And I remember Breen playing like poker with somebody at like 12 years old or whatever, 11 years old, right? But those were crazy times. But like the willingness of better of players, I don't want to say better, but like further along in the journey.
Yeah.
And you're doing that now, though, with the guys I have bringing up. And
even that's fair. Time flies, but you're right.
Yeah, you're a veteran now. How's it feel?
I'm a definitely a dew sweeper veteran now. So,
well, okay. So, what have you learned? So let me ask you this. This is, I was thinking today, I knew we were going to do this. So I knew I was going to ask you to sneak this in, but what makes you a better player now than you were 2 years ago? What do you think has made you a better player? What is better about you?
It's a few things, probably, but like, obviously, like, and I've said this a bunch, and I've probably said this in the podcast as well, but like working with you and swing wise and like with Jackson and Ramon with my short game and putting, it's about like sticking to what I know is going to take me to better results or better performance, obviously, and better feels in the golf course. And that's a big piece of it. But like, quite honestly, the other part is just like, just being happier with my life, like just being fulfilled with what I have, not like expect that I'm just going to be happy until I get to the PGA Tour or until I succeed more with golf. Like, once I kind of surrendered to that,
That hard?
It was really hard. Like, really? Oh man, like it beats you down pretty good. And it's like, sounds so easy to do, but it's not. Like,
really hard.
So like, for example, like here that I'm in South Florida for a few weeks practicing, I'm super grateful for it, but like
go ahead.
But dude, like every morning at 7 a.m. sunrise, like my dog wakes me up and I just take her to the beach and we hang out, see the sunrise. I throw a tennis ball at her, brings it back, and like every morning I'm just reminded that like my life is great. So, like, I don't need golf or good or bad golf to dictate that for me, you know?
You and I obviously are very close, and you've been with me through ups and downs and teaching too. And I've had to learn that too.
Yeah.
Right. I've learned that, like, and I'm open and honest about it. Like, there were periods of time where you evaluated, like, almost like how you are as a person related to, like, how all my guys played. And I think players do that too.
Oh, dude, like right? It's just as bad, I think.
Right? Probably worse. Yeah. Probably for sure worse. But like, I would think like, God, I mean, everybody missed cut this week. I'm terrible.
Yeah.
And so like Greg has helped me in a similar way. You know, you and Dr. Carton and Greg work but the same deal, like you realize, man, like I got Yvonne, she's great. Got Abby and Breen, they're great. Like, I do great stuff. Like, if everybody plays bad, I'm still okay.
Yeah. Right. And like, quite honestly, like, for me,
and it
like,
makes it better.
Yeah. But like, an example that Greg always puts me, and for some reason, I always fucking forget it. But like, he always tells it to me. Like, let's say you won the Masters this year for, like, you get into the tournament and you won the Masters this year. Is your life really going to change? Not really. You know, like, I'm going to wake up and, like, my family's going to be the same. I'm going to be grateful for the exact same things. I'm going to want to do the same things with my life and my off time or outside of golf. Like, it's really the same. Like, why are you so... I'm not trying to take the motivation out of golf out of this. Like, I love golf and like, it's a big part of my life, but like, why do you think you're going to be happy until you're really successful with golf, you know? And that's a big part. And like, obviously
that's good.
And another big thing too, is like surrounding myself from people that I trust, that I enjoy working with. And quite honestly, that I just know that they do good for me, you know? And not, I mean, this goes more for like like, let's say you go through a little streak that you're just not playing great, like, at least have people that you know that you can really count on, mm-hmm. that you have full faith that they're going to help you and put honest work to get things better. And, you know, that just makes a big difference. So
what did you learn over the last few years playing the Corn Ferry? And obviously this year you had your best year, but like, what did you figure out that you had to do better? Like, what was it that made you better this year? Like, you know, I mean, we could look at statistics and all that, but like, what from a player's perspective, like, was the difference this year?
You know, like, obviously I did have a pretty good year on the Corn Ferry Tour. Like, it was really solid, but like, quite honestly, if I'm honest, like, it was just more about like cleaning things up. Mm-hmm. Like, the good was just as good.
Agree.
Yeah. You know,
I thought this year when you played good,
yeah,
you did better with your good a little bit.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Maybe kind of took advantage more of the good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think my average golf was really, really, really good this year.
I agree.
Like, my bogey avoidance was incredible. Like, my lag putting improved a lot. Like, I didn't have nowhere near as many, like, three putts. So, like, you start shaving, like, one stroke a week like that. And, like, that goes a long way.
See, and I think that's, like, for the – whether you're a recreational golfer listening to us or a golf nerd or you're an aspiring young player or whatever – everybody comes to take a lesson and they're looking for this magic thing, right?
Yeah.
And yet you and I, we've worked for a long time and we're looking for you to just get a little bit better on the days that's good. And I don't know that, like, we're talking about stuff like you got to lag putt it better or you got to wedge it a little better or whatever it is. And I don't know that many golfers understand that. That, like, there isn't a magic bullet. There isn't something you're going to learn a lesson. It's just building every day.
Yeah.
You know?
And, like, to this day, I still think, like, college players or, like, junior golfers, I don't think they work enough in, like, their scoring aspect of the game enough. And I mean, shoot, I was one to blame whenever I was their age. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not picking on them.
We didn't know.
But, like, I think that's a big key at, like, improving in golf faster. Or not faster, but, like, consistently is, like, just buckling down and working on your scoring. And scoring is obviously, like, getting really good with your wedges, cleaning up your short game, getting more creative, avoiding three putts, trying to clean up and make a big percentage of your putts inside 6 feet. You know, little things like that. And instead of, like, wasting all your time and banging 400 golf balls on the range, you know?
Yeah, and I think, like, as we grow up, I think a lot of us are taught, like, to get better, you got to be just grinding out there, beating lots of balls. And I think what we found when you're around real successful players is that they figure out what they need to do. And you said something, I don't know if it was this afternoon or yesterday to one of the juniors, but you made the comment that, like, about how you figured out how, like, to go do what you needed to do and then get out of there. Yeah. Basically, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but, like, and I thought that was so smart because there's people that you watch that feel like they're not practicing unless they're there all day.
Yeah.
But they don't get much done.
Yeah.
And the more I watch the best players in the world, I think they're very focused on what they do and they know what they need to do. And I think they also nowadays, the stuff they do in the gym is part of the work.
Yeah, totally.
I think their rest and their recuperation, and that's part of it versus just beating balls.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was the junior that you're talking about. I remember I was telling him, it's like a great example for me, even for me that I don't have this at home every day, like, man, being an old palm and that you have brand new golf balls set on the range, a beautiful range, the practice holes, an incredible short game area, and an incredible putting green, and a great golf course. It's like, you want to be there all day, but it's like, you're going to burn yourself out. And, like, you can't do that to yourself day in and day out. Like you get to a point where like you start regressing instead of progressing if you spend too much time out there. I don't know if you agree, but
no, I used to always say, and I've told the story, and if he hears this, he'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Like Smiley, who obviously is doing fantastic broadcasting, but and we still work, but like he used to be able to take a lesson and start hitting it good, and we could hit till he hit it shitty.
Yeah.
Right? Like we could stand out there long enough that we would start hitting it shitty. And at the time, I mean, I was obviously younger and newer out there. Like, you know, you're like nowadays I know a little more. It's like, dude, we've done what we need to do. You don't need to stay out there. And I think you figured that. I think you've done for a young guy, I think you've done a really good job with that. You figured out how to get what you need to get out of it and go do it. Even when we do lessons and we work, which we do very consistently and we have a good plan, you come into a lesson knowing what you want to work on. You have questions you want answered. And when we're done, you're kind of done.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like we were talking about this when I came to see you last week. And we were laughing about it, but it's like you leave with peace of mind because you know, like, you did have questions, you did have a few things that you felt like you had to work on. Great, let's do it. But then once you're done, you have this peace of mind where you're like, no matter what I do after this, I can enjoy it. I can enjoy the moment. I'm not going to be thinking about my golf.
And, right.
You know?
And one of the things is we kind of talk about 2026 and starting your PGA Tour. Like, one of the things I've tried to impart upon you is that I think one of the mistakes people make, I know Luke Guthrie talked to you a little bit about this, give him a shout out because he's such a great human and player, but like, you've made the PGA Tour, don't change who you are just because you're out there. And I've tried to help you understand that what you do is great.
Yeah, totally.
And I think one of the hard parts is getting out there and you're going to see different people that are great at different things. And there's going to be golf courses that are great for certain people, not as good for others, week in, week out. But to stay true to what you do and believe in what you do and focus on what you do. And I think that's a real key for you. And I think you're doing unbelievable this offseason. What are you thinking about? How are you preparing for starting it? So,
you know, I don't know the answer to that. Like, at the end of the day, I'm going to be a rookie next year. But from what a few of the people that I trust and I value their opinion that they've told me, it seems like my head is in a good place.
I'd agree.
So, like, quite honestly, I'm doing my best at, like, getting the things that I feel like I have to really work on done right now this off season and not like go out and start the year and feel like I got all this stuff to figure out. You know, like I went and see the fitter I work with. I've seen you a lot more than I usually come and see you. Same with Jackson. I've spoken to Greg a bunch, you know, so it's like I feel like I'm kind of putting things together. By no means it's perfect. But like for me to have a really good set plan and try to avoid like panic out there, you know, like quite honestly, for me to not go out and feel like I got to change a bunch of like my DNA in golf or how I do things to succeed out there.
I thought Greg, I hate to give him credit because he'll, but Dr. Carton, Greg Carton, if you're listening to this, he's the best out there. But like we had a phone conversation, the three of us, and it was like, he put things in perspective that you hadn't played great at the very end of the year. And he was like, Emilio, you just had the best year of golf of your life, of your career. Like step back basically and take
zoom
perspective
out.
Of it. And zoom out. And I remember listening to you and you kind of like, you're right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's an interesting perspective for golfers. And I think golfers too, all too often, of all levels, look at everything just very like what I've done today or this week.
Yeah.
Versus looking
or
at
2 weeks.
Or 2 weeks or where you go. And I think if you're a golfer out there, you know, looking at things more big picture this is where I am, this is where I'm going. And then, you know, from working with me, like, I always like to take students and I'll pull up a video from a year and a half ago when we started and go, all right, now, like, hey, how much better is this shit now? And we're, well, okay, well, maybe I'm not as bad as I thought, right? And I think it's good. I think I always remember, I don't know who said this, might have been Hank, but like, you can't, it's hard to know where you're going if you don't know where you were started, right?
Yeah.
And like, I think it's real important as a golfer to understand like where you were, totally, where you are, where you're going. And if you're always, you're always getting better.
Yeah.
You know?
It goes a long way, man. And like, quite honestly, like I've said this, I don't know how many times in the last few months since I fortunately got my card, right? But how many people have asked me, like, what'd you do so different, like, last year that you finished 50th or 40, high 40s in the points list to this year? And quite honestly, it was just me being a little more comfortable, trusting that I was doing the right things. And quite honestly, at the end of the year, I had so much energy because I would show up to tournaments on Tuesday mornings. I would play 9 holes late, like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, have fun. There was no one out there. I would just have a good time with my caddy and a good buddy of mine that I would play every single week. I would go and play my pro-am at 7 in the morning the next day, and I'd be ready to go. Like, and then in previous years, I would go and bang balls all Monday, then play 9 or 18 holes on Tuesday, and then play my pro-am on Wednesday. Yeah, I mean, at the beginning of the year, it doesn't really change much, but then once you're 18 events in, you're like,
holy shit,
I'm exhausted.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially after that summer stretch where you played 14 out of 15 weeks out in that tour.
Yeah. I agree. I thought one thing that was interesting, this is just like, I would always take note and note, mental notes, but like, you know, I remember I'd start planning to come in and I would text everybody. And so and so a year ago, not this season, season before, you know, you'd be like, I'm getting in there. I'm going to hit balls Monday afternoon. So I'd try to make sure I'm getting there. Well, like Rick's already got to the point where you are. Rick's like, I'm getting in sometime late Monday. I'm going to play Tuesday, right? And, but this year I said one time, like, I'm going to get in there Monday. Shit, nobody was there on Monday, right?
Yeah.
You know? And you were like, what are you going to do? And I was like, oh, I guess I'm not going to get on Monday morning. Like, it doesn't do you any good. And, we started working when I would go out once a month to a Korn Ferry event, I'd either get in late Monday or early Tuesday, and we would work. I'd watch you for an hour Tuesday afternoon, walk a few holes. A lot of times you and Rick would play a few holes, watch Rick and Luke. I mean, I'd leave Wednesday, but like, you were fine.
Yeah. No, and it doesn't mean that just because I was playing good, and hopefully it doesn't come out this way. But like, I know that we still had things to do and work on and stay on top of
you always stuff. Had questions.
Yeah.
We
got our stuff done, but like, then every Tuesday we would try to go grab dinner, all of us together, and like, we would just go and shoot the shit and have fun, mm-hmm. You know? Like, things didn't change. Yeah, it's great.
That's important. What are you looking forward to most this year?
I mean, quite honestly, like, just enjoying, like, this new part of the journey for me, you know? Not getting too, like, I'm going to really try to, like, not get overwhelmed by, like, the little things that change, you know? There's so much, it's the same, but obviously just to a different extreme, probably, from my experience of playing the few tour events I've played. There's a lot more people, a lot more cameras, a lot more of everything. Right?
Yeah.
So it's just more about like trying to see it with a perspective of like, enjoy it and be thankful because this is what you asked for, instead of like trying to push the discomfort away just because it's something new.
Like being asked to be on the Tour Coach podcast. but it's true. And like, you know, Greg, we always bring him up, but he does a great job of always talking about like, you go and you have the success you're going to have out there on the tour, Well, then you get into the realm of where you're in elevated events and in all the majors. That's a new level of stuff, but it's the same. Like every step up is the same level of new stuff you got to deal with. Like, so it never ends. Yeah. It isn't like you get to a point where, oh shit, I don't have.
And accepting that is a big thing, man. Like, you think like, oh, you're on tour now. Like, your life changed. It's like, no, not really. Like, it's something I've been looking forward to for a really long time. And I'm very grateful that it finally came here. But at the same time, it's like, you still got to go and do your thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Agreed.
And like, yeah, once again, like, it's still golf. Like, you're still, the hole is still the same size. You still playing grass.
Exactly.
You know? Like,
same beat.
Yeah. So don't get too caught up in like the other little things that don't really.
Yeah, matter. I think the more people that are really trying to get better understand that. Like, I just don't think people understand the difference little things make.
Yeah.
Right. I think, and I've said it earlier, whatever, 20 minutes ago, like, everybody's looking for something magic, pixie dust that's going to make them a great player. But that isn't what happens. It's sticking to your plan and sticking to what you need to do and just doing it till you can do it.
Yeah. And there is like there is stories of like, for example, like, I don't know, who had a great season this year on the PGA? Ben Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
He went from being a pretty solid PGA Tour player to like becoming a top 10 player in the world. Right. Won three times this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people think that he probably just, oh my God, like he probably just did this and like, oh, he became a top 10 player in the world. And like, behind the scenes, I bet if he would go and ask Ben, like, he's just like, man, like, I've been working on this shit like for God knows how long, and it's about time like things started kind of falling in together, you know.
And I'm paraphrasing, but he was on the range and talking to one of my young guys getting ready to go to Q school, and I introduced him. He's a great ambassador at Old Palm. He really is really good at being there and just talking to folks. And, you know, he said, hey, like, I'm proof that your life can change this much in a few years. And the guy was like, well, what'd you do different? He's like, I just started believing I belonged out there, basically. Right. And
he still swings it the same way.
Swings it the same. I don't think he's changed much. Right. And it shows you the power of sticking to what you do and believing in what you do. And how it can work.
Yeah.
You know? So it's crazy.
Yeah. But cool to watch.
Very cool to watch. Yeah. Amelia, you're the best. I can't thank you enough for, like, I know we had some wings tonight up at Hurricanes. Give them a shout out. And the official home of the Dew Sweepers.
Totally.
But also, just, you're always so good to all my young guys, too, and my young kids. And it's fun having you around this month, spending some time down here. A little warmer than Charlotte, right?
Yeah, totally, man. It's been pretty cool to.
But it's fun having you down. Fun being able to bullshit and talk all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to have a fun next year, and I can't wait. And the first event I'm going to get out with you is going to be Amex, because Sony's a little bit of a longer trip. But we'll go to Palm Springs. I got a couple little places I like to go eat and drink there, so we'll have some good times.
Not shocked.
Yeah, not shocked.
We'll have a good time.
Yeah. Awesome. You're the best, buddy.
Yeah, thank you.